I called the Center of the Associated Students to order on Wednesday, September 28th, 2016 at 5:37 p.m. in the Reed Aladdin Senate Chambers on the third floor of the Joe Pye Student Union. Moving to Agenda Item 2, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving into Agenda Item 3, roll call.
Speaker Texera.
Present.
Senator Berrigan.
Absence excused. Okay.
Senator Blair.
Present.
Senator Bond.
Present.
Senator Bradley.
Present.
Senator Crooks.
Present.
Senator Krupe.
Present.
Senator Duvall.
Present.
Senator Eschenbaugh.
Present.
Senator Fang.
Present.
Senator Green.
Present.
Senator Henderson.
Present.
Senator H. Jackson.
Present.
Senator T. Jackson.
Present.
Senator Jacoby.
Present.
Senator Jordan.
Present.
Senator Kohler.
Present.
Senator McAbaluk.
Excuse to the illness.
Senator Smith.
Present.
Senator Yerkety.
Present.
And Senator Cook.
Present.
Senator Chu.
Present.
All right. Quorum is present.
Awesome. Let's move into Agenda Item 4, adoption of the minutes. I'm seeking motion.
I move to approve the minutes from September 7, 2016 by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Motion carries. Moving to Agenda Item 5, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Mr. Osman?
Hello. For those who don't know me, my name is Michael Osman. I'm the Vice President of the National Federation of the Blind of Nevada, as well as a member of the Board of Directors for the National Association of Blind Students. Today, I wanted to put a piece of legislation up on your guys' minds. Right now in the United States, nationwide, students with disabilities are not able to gain access to their information, both within electronic information technologies and in general. For instance, how many of you have struggled with gaining access to things like Canvas or, in the past, Blackboard? Please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Awesome. I'm surprised it's not more of you. For people with disabilities, the access is not just, you know, it's down. It really comes down to how the website is developed, the software, whether or not the institution took the time in order to ensure that the accessibility exists. You know, students are regularly subjected to receiving their textbooks months into the semester, which as students is inexcusable. It places them at a severe disadvantage. The access to education just isn't there. Recently, Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee has introduced a bill, H.R. 6122, the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act. This bill, over an 18-month period, will establish a purpose-based commission, which will create voluntary accessibility guidelines to help institutions be in compliance with Titles 2 and 3 of the ADA, as well as Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. This bill does not just affect, you know, students with disabilities now, but students with disabilities in the future. I think that students, you know, deserve access. President Johnson has agreed. He's planning on writing a letter of support. He and I discussed it in May. He and I are meeting to finalize what exactly the letter should contain on Friday. But I think that it would be extremely powerful if the Associated Students embrace the 15% of folks who have print disabilities on campus, not just the 8 blind students, but the students who have other print disabilities who need access. I think that the Associated Students should highly consider writing a resolution, not just in support of the legislation, but encouraging our congressmen and our senators to support the legislation. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Osman? Speaker Pro Tem Hannah Jackson.
Can you repeat what bill that was?
It is House Bill 6122.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Are there any further questions for Mr. Osman? Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Is there any further public comment? Dr. English, I know you're waiting on one other.
Waiting for just a few more minutes. If you have something else to go forward with, it would be fine.
Director Beattie.
Happy to see you here at Senate again. So just so you know, the assessment, government assessment, will be going out tomorrow for you new senators. I'll fill you in on that later. You won't be getting it just yet. it soon enough. And so I'd like to encourage you all to do it. I would like to encourage the executive branch to do it as well, with filling out and maintaining the socially responsible leadership scale, followed by all good questions to assess some of the training that you got. Also, the posting boards. I walked by the posting board the other day, took a look at it, and I told oversight this day, it literally looked like a tree sneezed a bunch of paper on it. It's sort of a symbolic physical representation around campus of setup. So if we could, when we're posting, make sure you take down your old ones and put your new ones up kind of nice and neat. Don't stack them over one another. See if we can get it neat and keep it that way. It's just, I think, symbolically and representationally, it makes kind of look better around campus. And the other thing, everyone, exec board, senate, use your programmers. When programming comes on, they go through a lot of training, where to get tables, where to get chairs, how to find contracts, how to do a million different things, and we don't train any of you on that. Some of you are past programmers and kind of know what's going on, but I'd encourage you, if you're doing anything above tabling, email Casey, set up a meeting with one of the people. You know, I wouldn't ask a programmer to write a piece of legislation, right? Because they weren't trained to write legislation. You were trained to write legislation. Just like that, I wouldn't ask you to go out and throw a program, because you're not really familiar with all the processes. You have experts. Brandon hired a really good director who has a great staff. So utilize them, and they can get you through the process so much easier. So you're not like the day before running around trying to figure things out. Thanks.
Dr. English, the floor is yours if you want to come up to the front right here and present to everyone.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks. Two of us, and Brian actually has a PowerPoint if there's capability for that. If not, we can just do it.
Yeah, if you follow Senator Green, he can help you
across. Should we go at that end then? Or either way. While we're getting that set up, I'll just introduce myself. I'm Cheryl Hugg English. I'm the medical director of the Student Health Center. And I appreciate you guys being willing to have us down to talk a little bit about student insurance. For those of you who were on the Senate last year, Brian and I came down and gave a presentation, and we're back to kind of follow up on that discussion. I think there's lots going on with student insurance, and Brian will talk in more detail about that on a national scene, but specific for college health programs. And I think we're concerned because of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and the sort of decreased availability of voluntary plans to offer to students. And as you know, on this campus, at the current time, we have mandatory with a hard waiver for the graduate students, the medical students, and the international students. But the undergrads are still completely voluntary. The past several years, we've really had the carriers say we are not real willing to continue to bid out voluntary plans. We've been able to convince them and prod them along in the hopes that maybe there will be some changes coming. But there's really right now just three carriers that are involved in student health insurance. For the most part, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to get bids for that. And some of you may know this, but at UNLV this year, they actually opted to not provide any insurance coverage for their undergraduate students. And that really worries me. For an institution, I think, as large as ours, or even a small one, to not be able to offer an insurance option for their students is scary to me. And I will share with you that we've had an undergraduate student this past year that without having that insurance, it would have been disastrous. So that's kind of what we want to just, and I'm just setting the stage. Brian can kind of take over and talk in a little bit more detail, but I think we're concerned about it. I think last year when we came, we asked you to kind of think about it. This year we're going further and really asking that we would like you guys to take a vote on this this year, with the understanding that if we put something in place, there's a couple things to think about. It is not an automatic fee for everybody. It is only for those who don't have another insurance option. So many of you would be on your parents' plan and can stay on your parents' plan until age 26. Some others may have insurance through a job. Others may have insurance through a spouse. Others may be on a Medicaid plan. All of those options would be acceptable. But for those students who don't have any insurance, it would be required. And that's what we're looking at. So it's not mandatory for everybody, and I think that gets confusing. It sort of feels like we're asking yet another fee for everybody. We're not. We're simply saying for those who don't have insurance, it would be required. And I will say to you, I do all the parent orientations throughout the summer, and almost in every orientation I did, the parents came up and said, well, what do you mean it isn't required? Every other school we've applied to or that our students have applied to, it's an automatic expectation. So I think we're kind of behind the times in what other schools have been doing for a lot of years. And I'll turn it over to you, Brian.
Good afternoon. I'm Brian Judy with Wells Fargo Insurance. I am your broker for the Student Health Insurance Program here at UNR. I actually work with the Nevada System of Higher Education to provide similar programs at UNLV and College of Southern Nevada as well. Unfortunately, apparently I don't have access to show you my nice slide deck that we had put together. I can make it available afterwards if you're interested, but I will do my best to give you the cliff notes of what I was going to walk through today. As Dr. Hug says, really, what we've been working on collectively, and you may have heard this from me last year for those of you that were here, but what we've collectively been working on for the past 8 to 10 years now is managing the student health insurance plan as an option for those students that need to have health insurance. And we want to make sure we're providing something that is comprehensive, complies with the Affordable Care Act requirements, which is Obamacare healthcare reform, and does so in a manner that is the most price conscious and affordable that we can make available. And really, as a university, and again, for background, that's really all I do. I work solely with universities across the country to put together plans for the students. When we look at this type of coverage, the goal is to make sure that we don't end up with the unfortunate situation of having students that don't have the ability to access quality care when they need to, or that may have a high out-of-pocket cost or burden up front in terms of seeking that care. So if you start looking at the plans that are available, there's a wide range, and you'll see that there are some on the exchange, individual plans. You may have something through both of your parents. They range wildly in terms of what they have set up in terms of the deductible, co-insurance levels. You've heard probably of some of these metallic tiers that we talk about, bronze plan, silver plan, gold plan. Depending on what you have dictates kind of how robust the coverage is and what your out-of-pocket cost sharing will be when you have to go see a doctor or go to the hospital. Universities have a unique opportunity in terms of having a large pool of students to bring together and insure under a single plan that gives us some economies of scale to be able to provide this plan at a more affordable price point than what you see in the community. You also, frankly, have the advantage of age working to your benefit because you are demographically a very young cohort when we're looking at an insurance plan, which again translates into better risk for the insurance companies that are taking on such a program, and again allows us to negotiate a lower price. So what we've been working towards, again, over the past several years is how do we maintain this? How do we continue to make this plan available? And as Dr. Hug alluded to, really where the industry has gone is towards what we call a hard waiver mandatory requirement. Simply means that you have to have some form of insurance, comprehensive insurance, in place. It doesn't have to be the school's plan, but it can't be uninsured. That is consistent with national law at this point. Under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare again, citizens have to have coverage here. It's why the exchanges came into being. And if you don't, there are annual fines, taxes, fees, however you want to define it, that you have to pay on your tax return. So our goal is to continue to keep this type of a plan as an option for those students that may not have other alternatives or at least not attractive alternatives available. Again, if you look at the industry, it's moved to this hard waiver requirement. It's something we have not been able to get accomplished here, and we've looked at it a number of times. The advantage of going that route is that we're able to negotiate a much more favorable price. We typically see about a 20 to 25% reduction in the cost of the premium on an annual basis when we've run the numbers over the past several years. So it's giving us a better price. We get to continue to stabilize the experience so that we're not subject to sharp rate hikes or drops in a given year, because again, we've got more people pooled in together. We talked a little bit about the waiver process. If you do have other coverage, there's an online form that you go through, you answer questions that the university sets up. It allows you to waive out. There's no charge at that place. But for those that don't have other coverage, then they would be enrolled on the plan. The advantage of having this too is that it becomes eligible for financial aid. So we often hear that question in terms of what about that, the additional cost? Again, it's a little different landscape now, because the additional cost has to really be framed within the national landscape that you have to purchase insurance somewhere anyhow. This makes it eligible for the financial aid package to include it in with the rest of the loan. It is a loan. You do have certainly the obligation to pay it, but it's another avenue for financing that otherwise on a voluntary plan like we have right now, we can't make available. I put together some slides that looked a little bit about how what we're offering right now compares to what's available on the exchange, to give you guys an idea sort of where this stacks up. I wish I had that available for you, because it really shows the range in terms of price and what you pay on an annual basis. We were looking at some gold and silver plans from national carriers on the exchange. Prices on average, I will say, were between $2,500 and $4,000 annually, depending on your age range. We plug in a couple of ages and depending on what plan you have. Some of those plans still had deductibles that were $1,000 or $1,500, meaning when you're going to go in and see the doctor at the beginning of the year, that's an upfront cost you have to cough up. The advantage, again, of the student plan is that we've tailored it to the needs of a student body, which traditionally translates into low deductibles, higher coinsurance, lower ER copays that go into that come into play. So if we were lining up what we've put in place right now, and if you look at what we've done for the graduate student, it's a pretty sharp contrast in terms of their annual price, which is in that $2,600 range, much lower deductible and lower out-of-pocket coinsurance costs. It's something we would certainly love to be able to do for the undergraduates as well. And again, as Dr. Hug alluded to, it gives us more options for you guys in terms of the number of insurance carriers that are out there that are willing to work with the plan. When they look at the voluntary plan, there's not a lot of interest because the enrollment is low, the experience isn't favorable, and so there's not much appetite for carriers to want to say, yeah, I want to bid on that plan. When we transition over to a hard waiver plan, that story changes, and all of a sudden we've got other carriers that are willing to get into the market. Lastly, we talked a little bit, again, about sort of the national trend across the country with other schools. Again, nice slide on this, but there are a number of other large state public institutions across the country that have all adopted hard waiver plans. The University of California system, 10 campus system, so Berkeley, Davis, Cal, UCLA, they all have hard waiver requirements. University of Portland has it. University of Oregon is putting it in place this coming year. Idaho State, Montana State, Minnesota, Ohio State, Florida, again, it's a long list, but if you kind of go state by state, you see that the majority of them have either already moved that direction or are making plans to do so in order to keep the spirit alive. So with that, I think, again, our purpose for being here is to bring it to your attention and certainly try to look at sort of the path forward and what steps we would need to take if that was the direction that we wanted to move.
As Brian said at the beginning, if you want a copy of the slides, we can make those available to you so that you all can take a look at some of the information in more detail. I know this is complicated. Insurance is a difficult topic to really talk about. It's hard to understand for all of us, and it gets more and more complicated every year. But we're really trying to simplify it for you guys. We're trying to bring an option that allows us to still provide insurance for the entire campus. So, I'm not expecting anything to happen tonight, but I really would ask that you consider. We're happy to come back at a later date if you have other questions, if you want to email questions to us. But I do think that, and I will just say that, but for Brian and his tremendous efforts in the past few years, we would not even have the option of a voluntary plan. He's really worked very hard on the current carriers that we have so that, you know, they've been willing to kind of extend it. But that's going to come to an end soon. I think with that, we'll close. I know you've got a lot of other things on your agenda. Happy to answer questions if you have.
Senator Duvall first.
Can I get your contact information? I have a lot of questions. I'm very interested.
If you guys could write, like,
sure.
Your emails on the whiteboard over there.
Sure.
Before you guys leave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Senator Eschenbaum.
Do you know how many students, either percentage or number, are using the insurance plans?
How many on our campus right now? We have a total of about 2,000, Brian. Is that about right this year?
In total on plan? Correct.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that Wells Fargo Insurance was what it's through. Is there a place in the Wells Fargo office, the banking office, that people can talk to if they have questions?
It's a separate, and you might want to comment on that.
Sure.
A separate division.
Yeah, that's a great question. If you go into a banking office, they're not going to have the experience on the insurance side. Mm-hmm. So I'm based in Sacramento, so I drove over the mountains here tonight, but I'm close by. We are the national practice group for all of Wells Fargo for student insurance across the country. So we have a team of about 35 team members. That's all we do. So we're happy to speak with you about it. Again, we come up here and talk in person. Got some other wonderful account managers and staff that answer questions at orientations and health fairs. So we are available.
Thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
Would this disproportionately impact undocumented students?
Well, I don't think so, in that we're making an option of insurance available. I think that, any student that doesn't have insurance would be in that same category. Again, it's, as Brian mentioned, the advantage is somebody purchasing it in this way would be eligible to be included in their financial aid package. So I don't think it would,
Senator Blair.
Are you doing any research to see what the students feel about moving towards this card waiver stance?
We have not done a survey. That's certainly something, if you guys wanted to initiate, you can certainly do. I think that I would say some of the focus groups that our health educator has done, there is definitely support for it. But other than like a broad survey across the board, no, we have not done that.
Senator Blair again.
We're going to have several wellness events over the year on the Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness Board. Would it help you if we hold with students to some of that data?
Well, I think it would. I think the problem now is the lack of understanding. I think it's all in how it's presented. If it's presented as, are you in favor of an additional, fee for insurance, the answer is going to be no. I think there, it is complicated, and I think that so it's a little bit difficult. survey that without sort of presenting the background information. But we'd have to think about how to do that, how to word it.
Senator Schumel?
I was just going to chime in. We have, other universities have done surveys similar to that. As Dr. Hogue said, they're a little challenging to sort of read through the results because you'll end up having responses that are very specific to their particular situation that were their strong advocates for that, for the insurance, but there may be others that wouldn't have been on the insurance in the first place. So it's sometimes asking the right question is definitely critical, but we do have some that we can share.
Out of the 2,000 students that are using this insurance program, would you say that most of them are traditional students or non-traditional, as in a little bit older or veterans or living at home, things like that? Have you noticed any demographic differences?
Do you want to answer?
Sure. So the majority of the students that are using it right now are the larger constituents within the population. So you've got the graduate students, your international students, and the School of Medicine, who've all adopted the hard waiver requirement. So collectively, they represent a larger portion of the pie, and therefore they do have more of the utilization. We don't break it down too detailed into specific classifications of demographics, although we do have some broad, non-specific identifier categories we can look at. But in general, it's pretty wide across the board. Certainly older students may have tendency to have more complicated issues, but we have usually just as many younger students, for lack of a better word, that are still using the plan. They're just, the expenses may be low.
Thank you.
Senator, were there any other comments? Senator Jordan? All right, thank you so much. I'm sure Senator Blair will email you about it going through her committee, because if you guys didn't want to put it to a vote, she would be the senator to talk to. Yeah, thank you so much.
Great questions. Thank you for being willing to have us come and carry on with the rest of your agenda.
Does anyone want the business card from the broker from Wells Fargo? Senator Blair.
Did you get her contact information?
Yeah, I just sent it over to Melissa.
Okay.
Can we clarify what they were asking us to do?
It basically.
To talk a lot about the Office of New Student Initiatives and what our office does, my role this. Then we'll, I'm going to talk about our new student fee and the budget breakdown. I know it sounds odd, but that is every year I come to y'all with the budget because I want you to know how that $150 new student fee is being spent. I'm going to talk about the orientation 2016. We made a lot of changes to the 2016 program, so I'll talk about the changes we made and some of the changes we're looking to for 2017. We'll be sharing some of the data regarding orientation, and then along with some workshop information and, of course, some time for questions. And I will try to go fast and quick because I'm sure you have a lengthy agenda, but I will take questions, of course, throughout. So first and foremost is, we were created in 2009 to assist our new students with transitioning to the University of Nevada. Of course, our bread and butter program is orientation. That's what everybody knows us for. But there are a variety of other programs that we help coordinate. Wolfpack Welcome being one of them. Specific events out of our office are opening ceremony and that big welcome barbecue, running of the wolves, a couple of other odds and ends like that. We also run the Student Success Series, which this year we are expanding to not just have freshman topics, but also students in transition topics. So we'll be adding some topics about, I don't know, how to drive in the snow, because not all of our students understand that. And that's a transition with moving to the area. We're also going to look into partnering with our career studio and partner with creating some topics for transitioning out of the university. Not just the items the career studio is offering, but how to cook for yourself, how to live. That type of stuff. So we're expanding that student success series. It is really focused in the past on time management, test taking, and that first year transition. But we've discovered through our workshops that even sophomores and juniors sometimes need that time management or test taking because their first year was really easy and they weren't faced with as much time management. So we're intentionally chose a kind of broad-based title with student success, but are looking into marketing it more broad-based, as I said. And then I have MapWorks there in parentheses, because up until last January, our office ran the MapWorks program. We are no longer running that program. It was a great retention tool for first-year students to gauge how their adjustment to college was going. It was a very expensive program, and it wasn't yielding our full level of results. I included it here, though, because when I talk about the fee, I look at fiscal year 16, which includes the fall 15 semester and spring 16 semester. So a lot of the costs related to the implementation of the program are in that budget information. Oh, the last aspect that I mentioned is impact on students. So we talk directly about our programmatic impact on students. We see 90%+ of the freshman class throughout orientation. So that is the first impact we have, is that direct impact on the programmatic side of orientation. And then we don't see quite as many in our student success series, a couple hundred over the course of the year with those workshops. And then my individually, speaker Texera, has my business card. So one of the titles that I get to carry is assistant dean. So with the assistant dean side, I also get to have individual contact with students that are facing challenges. So out of the overall associate dean of students office, students might meet with us because they're in the hospital for a week. Maybe they meet with us via email about that. But how do they communicate with their professors? How do they work through that adjustment or some other big thing that might be happening in their lives? So I'll individually interact with students that way, and then my direct impact with the orientation program is through our orientation staff. I'm fortunate to have about 25 to 30 summer orientation staff members who are our orientation guides, our orientation leadership interns, and our orientation support staff, which is probably one of the best parts of my summer, is getting to know our students that are returning students, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, helping with their leadership development, their training, and seeing them move into additional leadership roles on campus. So that would probably gauge my impact at the university. Moving into the money side of things, really want to make sure you get some information on that. I'll make sure electronically that I provide this to your secretary so she can distribute that as need be, but she also has hard copy type stuff. You can see I did a kind of quick pie chart breakdown just so you all see how the fee is being charged. All new students are charged $150 mandatory, non-waivable new student fee for coming to the university. $10 of that fee automatically goes to Wolfcart to pay for your first ID card, just so you know. So you can see 8% of our budget, a little over $54,000, went to Wolfcart for last fiscal year to fund their programs and services, in addition to what other areas they might receive in their budget. As I told you before, the majority of our budget does go to orientation. This year we had a 4% increase in the amount of money that went to orientation. So 58% of our budget went to orientation, which was $419,900.29. That is about $100,000 more than last year. The reason I mention this, though, is that the fiscal year issue is that orientation is a summer program, and our fiscal year runs July 1 through the end of June. Many of our bills don't hit until the end of July, August, or September. So, like, the perfect example is residential life, housing, and food service. In summer 15, we would have housed 3,500 students in orientation, plus fed them three meals out of the food service area in the DC. That was a $200,000 bill because fall 15's freshman class was so large. So our fees, of course, are going to fluctuate, our expenses, excuse me, are going to fluctuate based upon the participation levels of our students and the size of the freshman class. So this year, 58% of the budget went to orientation. Yeah, 14% went to new student initiatives administration. Our office is 100% fee funded, so my salary, our recently hired program coordinator salary, all of the students that work in our offices, their wages, our copies, our telephones, whatever it can cost to administer an office comes out of that fee. And so we've kept that at 14%. That's been consistent. Welcome and opening ceremony was 12% of the budget at $83,000. That's 1% higher than the previous year, so not a significant increase there. With the cost of lawyer keeps getting larger. The cost of sound and lighting keeps getting more expensive. And we also keep adding really cool things. Like this year, we added the big, great reader board, so my sound and lighting bill jumped up a lot this year. And that will be in next year's budget, though. Other programs would be our MathWorks, our Student Success Series. We also fund the Student Planner. We've purchased, in cooperation with the ASU and Bookstore, that we combined purchased 7,000 of them, but 4,000 of those were purchased out of the new student initiatives budget, and they're designed to go to first-year students, 3,500 of which we distribute in August, 500 we keep for our new students that start in the spring. So that's how we have our 4,000 breakdown. And then kind of gives you the overview. Overall, you can see we collected $816,000 in total student fees. I overpaid Wolfcart by $10, I discovered. So that's the fabulousness of our accounting, and that it's a mess. In case you ever have, they take money in and take it out, and you're just kind of hoping it washes out in the end. And so this year we rolled over about almost $100,000. We have a vacant position in the office, so that would be why we're not at, you know, zero budget type thing. But we do have, we discovered with this larger and increasing freshman classes, while this year we stayed fairly flat, the intention of the university is to grow freshmen again next fall, and so kind of on this every other year type of cycle. Our office can't continue to be a 1.5-person office, so we're trying to move to a full 3 people. We still have, like I said, a vacant position. We're hoping to grow in the next few months. So, moving off of finances. Okay. Well, I guess on one slide I actually have different things. So, as you can see, through 2016, we made a number of changes to the orientation program. Many of you probably attended the old program where throughout the summer was simply a two-day program. It started pretty early in the morning on day one, went really late, stayed in the residence halls, and still went till 3 to 5 o'clock on day two. Because of the growing size of the freshman class and the intentions of the university to grow, additionally, due to the maximization of space on campus, we have a great campus, but it's really hard to find programmatic space for 500 people in a lecture format. Additionally, and we don't want tons of those lecture rooms, quite frankly. So through those types of things, additionally spacing in the residence halls, we could tell that our format in that everybody goes to the two-day program was not conducive for getting us to last the next 10 years. So in 2016, we made a number of changes. The biggest change is we have a combination of programs now. We have the single-day program and the overnight program. The single-day program is a 12-hour program starting at 8 in the morning, going until 8 o'clock at night. You know, still has a number of workshops, academic advising, some small group time, just trying to acclimate a student to campus. And then we have the overnight program, which we adjusted. It doesn't start until afternoon on day one. It starts at about 1 o'clock. Still has the overnight stay in the residence halls and wraps up, again, between 3 and 5 on the second day. So both of those changes require some differences to our workshops. You know, we're losing programmatic time, so that meant we had to make some workshop changes. As you can see in the lower bullet, so we had to reduce the amount of time spent on Title IX. Title IX would be campus sexual assault, violence against women, and some of those resources. We went from a 45-minute program that was just a video and speaking to about, on a good day, 7 minutes, some days 4 minutes, depending on who was presenting. And along with a handout and additional follow-up in small group communication. So we didn't eliminate it completely, but it was greatly reduced. The health center went from a full workshop to a 3-minute video. The career studio also went from a large-scale workshop to a smaller couple of minutes as part of our super session workshop. We eliminated a session called Your First Class, which featured some of our quality faculty members actually teaching a class on their subject. We eliminated the information about My Nevada and and we also eliminated the financial aid information. That was done very intentionally. The My First Class was done because with the emergence of the Nevada FIT programs, we have made an intentional decision that orientation is going to be focusing on connecting to campus, that engagement aspect and that out-of-classroom activity, whereas Nevada FIT is an academic-focused boot camp. So Nevada FIT is going to have that first class. Nevada FIT's going to have that high faculty interaction. So that was the decision for removing the first class. The My Nevada information was covered with academic advisors, and then it moved into the academic advising component of their 3 hours or so of time with the students where they would talk about add, drop, swap, and all that fabulousness that you all can do with your eyes closed, but freshmen don't know which way it is up. So that was handled through the advising, and it was done by each college differently, just as each of your colleges is so unique already. And then the financial aid information is probably the area that was the biggest in terms of lacking a financial aid, made it a point to make sure they were open and available for one-on-one consultations. And the workshops we discovered for financial aid weren't working because the financial aid is such an individually unique situation. With 3,000 new freshmen, we've got 2,000 different financial aid situations. And so the workshop is, of course, you know, presenting common information to everybody, but they were spending more time with individualized questions, so that individualized time assisted. We also added, we added an information fair for key offices on campus that didn't have time for a workshop. And we also have made a priority to have orientation be the last 2 weeks of June and the month of July. This gives seniors in high school the opportunity to graduate and maybe take a week or two off before they look at university life. And also there leaves time in August for a university to prepare for FIT camps and other things that happen at the university. So our focus has been to stay in June and July. We're trying not to eat into August. We also know that if the class grows to 4,000 freshmen, we will probably be bumping into August. Changes for the next year, we will be continuing with the single day and overnight changes, but this year's format, 1 week we would have, you didn't ever knew which day it was. Like, you were like, okay, it's Monday. I have a two-day program. It's Monday. It's Tuesday. What day? What program is it? Oh, it's a single-day program. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, it's a single-day program. Thursday, it's a two-day program. we kind of tried to mix it up to meet our parents and students' needs, and so it was really all over the place as to what program was which day. Any of our presenters can probably attest to that fact that that was somewhat confusing. This next summer, we're going to have, this week will be two-day programs, the next week will be single-day programs, this week will be two-day programs, the next week will be single-day programs. There'll still be some confusion, but it'll allow at least for a little bit more of our staffs to get into a rhythm of how our programs are running. We're going to continue the emphasis on making that transition to college, that opportunity to invent yourself, to engage on campus, to connect on campus. We're going to increase our communication prior to orientation. One of the items that, with the elimination of MacWorks, we were able to spend some of our money on was we're looking at an online orientation component, and what we're looking to do there is to move My Nevada information online and encourage students to go through the videos on how to do all of that My Nevada stuff before they come to orientation. Then they will continue to have access to that while they're at orientation and throughout the summer, so when they're trying to add, drop, swap, they can get some tutorial assistance if need be. We still need to work through our workshop analysis. We have a session tomorrow morning. Our ALFI session, which I'll cover in a little bit, is a great super session, but we covered a lot of information in like 45 minutes, so we need to decide if we're going to continue to cover that much information or how do we make some adjustments to that. Our individual workshops are always up for analysis as to making sure we're giving the right information to students. Our office, myself and Roberto Rotteri, our program coordinator, are always available for suggestions and changes. And then our assessment evaluation data is going out in the next couple of weeks because we wanted to look at more retention of information from orientation to your first year, not just that quick evaluation right after you left. And so once we receive that evaluation and assessment information, we'll be able to make additional changes. So data-wise, we wanted to talk a little bit. First, we have our overnight information. You'll see we saw about 1,377 students through the overnight programs. There was not as, you know, they averaged about the 260 to 275 size just because of bed spaces in the residence halls. If we hit 275, it gets a little tight. We need to use every bed available, and sometimes that can be challenging to make sure you have the right gender breakdown. Additionally, you can see we do have the California, Nevada, Reno, Las Vegas, and Reno breakdown, so we know who came to orientation. Next, we have the single-day sessions. Those sessions, we can have a little larger, but we still try to keep them in the 290 to 300 range just to allow for significant small group interaction when you're interacting with orientation guides. You can also see our California, Nevada, and then the Reno, Las Vegas breakdowns. We didn't know what to expect in terms of who was going to come to orientation, and you can see, you know, there's not really a significant difference between the two. Our transfer sessions, our transfer numbers this year were a little lower. That is something we are going to be looking into. We only saw 522. So our summer numbers this year were 3,899 students that we saw throughout the summer. Then our makeup sessions, which were in August, for our students that are significantly out of area or have a summer commitment that does not allow them to come, adds another 259 total students. So you'll see we saw 4,158 students. If you use the freshman class, just freshman numbers with our total, the 35,717, if you use number by numbers, 98.9% of the freshmen attended an orientation. We're still in the process of doing the matchup because student A and student A, you know, we might have some students that attended a session in June or July and then said, you know, this isn't the place for me. And so we're still figuring out that actual number. But if we just run, you know, straight numbers, we did see a significant number of students throughout the summer. And then we have workshop data that you can't even see. So what we did put in here is I did put in, and like I said, we'll send it out. I did have our most attended workshop is our tips and tricks for college students when we do the breakout workshop that is coordinated by our tutoring center, and it really talks about college adjustment. Our second most highly attended workshop is our campus involvement workshop, so I have your individual numbers as well. We rely on you all, on the Center for Student Engagement and ASUN, to provide that workshop. And it's always interesting because we're planning orientation about the same time y'all are doing elections, and so we're kind of up in the air with, like, what's going to be covered? And then we get new people. And so the concept we have for campus involvement is we know that ASUN provides so many resources to the students, but for first-year students, they really need to know they're going to find a place on campus that they feel comfortable. So the emphasis on events, programming, and clubs and organizations has really helped. Instead of the, we did have some years when ASUN focused on the amount of funding they had going to campus escort and the research journal and the wide variety of amazing services. But moving out of that to how can a student find their place on campus has proved to be very successful for both ASUN, the Center for Student Engagement, and for our students. So that's what I really encourage y'all to continue to look into with that is we want our students to make sure they know that this is the right place for them. They're going to find a place where they can connect on campus. Our Title IX numbers are also on there, along with the super session. The super services session, which was also known as the Alfie session, or Are You Smarter Than Alfie, was a really quick session where we covered a lot of different things with either video, PowerPoint, or game, just trying to get real quick information. So that's where the Wolf Shop is addressed, just to, that it's student-owned, and the, you know, price matching and some things like that. They get about 4 minutes. The Health Center video is 3 minutes long about how easy it is to use our Health Center. We move into the Student Success Series, which is only like a minute and a half. Counseling Services has a 4-minute video about just the availability of counseling services and that you're paying for it, so, you know, consider using it. Our Academic Support area, we did a quick overview of what is in the Pennington Student Achievement Center, just making sure folks knew about Math Center, Writing Center, Tutoring Center, so that they receive and utilize those services. The Career Studio played a little game called Who's It's or What's It's or something like that.
Kahoot.
Kahoot. I was looking at Tennis, like, Tennis knows what they are. So the Wolf Card has a quick video because, you know, the Wolf Card has more uses than just your key in the residence halls. It's more than just a student ID. And so as freshmen, we want them to know that. We did cover the Title IX information. Denise Cordova was there to talk about resources out of her office and did a quick presentation. And then we also showed the tea consent video, the hot tea consent video. I'm not sure if you've all seen it, but it is a somewhat lighthearted way to look at consent without it being in your face and perceived wrong. And then we had a quick video on, I titled it volunteering, but it is the campus engagement, and President Boone was there for the majority, if not all of those, to talk about his commitment and your all's commitment to volunteer hours throughout the year. And then athletics did a quick thing, really quick, about, you know, coming to football games, supporting our students, supporting athletics. All right, so that's a lot of information, and especially since it's hard to see on this little screen. My business cards have either been passed around or will be around. I would love to take questions, talk with y'all about it, because I know orientation can be a really big deal for some folks. There's always more that we want to do at it, but we also only have so many hours. So I would gladly take any questions from you all. Can I recognize you? Okay.
Senator Kirby.
So what... With how you said that you're moving to like a week of two-night sessions and a week of single-day sessions, what's the ideology behind keeping the two-night sessions specifically?
The overnight sessions?
Yeah.
We still have a lot of students that really do like that sessions. That can be their first choice. The students were getting their first choice of sessions as terms of, do you want a single-day session or an overnight program? So the overnight program does allow for increased connections to other students. There's more small group time. There's more time to interact and make some of those connections to your small group leader and or other students that are in attendance. So we discovered that a lot of our overnight programs, they have higher, slightly higher, not enough to really be like, oh my gosh, it's higher, but are out of area, are significantly out of area students. Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Wisconsin, they're the ones coming to that overnight program, and so that ability for them to come, spend the night, really get their a taste of campus and then head back home makes a little bit more sense than that single day program. Especially we discovered some of those very significantly out of area are Colorado families. I know I keep saying Wisconsin, but I talked to a lot of people from Wisconsin this year, significantly more than I thought. Some Texas. They don't come for the previews and the Nevada bounds and some of those types of events. So the first time they're on campus is an orientation. And so they, you know, they've just looked at us online, they've just looked at us in books, and this is the time they really either, you know, fall in love with our campus or discover maybe this isn't the relationship they want. But most of them fall in love with it, you know, and so that two-day program gives them the opportunity to really explore campus, whereas the single-day program, it is really intense. It is, you know, we had an evaluation meeting today, and I heard from a number of folks that they were like, the students were exhausted by 4 o'clock, and I thought, yeah, they were, because we'd probably been talking to them and having them do stuff since 8 o'clock straight with, like, hi, here's a 45-minute break, get some water and some lunch, now you got to go somewhere else. You know, it's definitely the life of more of a sophomore or junior in college, not an incoming freshman. But that one-day program is very intense.
Senator T. Jackson.
So for the data, for the workshop data, was it separated by whether it was a parent workshop and a student workshop, or did you just focus on the student workshops?
The data that I provided here is just the student workshops. I can't get you all the parent data. I will make a note of that.
Senator Green?
So I was just wondering, since a bunch of us did orientation, is there like an exit survey that students take to talk about what they did like about the presentation and what they did not like about, like, the student involvement presentation?
This year there was not. In past years there has been. That's what we're doing, an online assessment that will be going out later on. When in the previous years when we've done the, like, hey, fill this out now, we did get data, but we weren't getting data that was really actionable. They loved everything or they hated it, but the majority loved everything. Every workshop was great. Every orientation staff member was great. And I'm clearly, that's what I think, you know, but I wanted some actionable data. So that's why this year we've decided we did orientation. Let's see if that information sunk in. Let's see if it percolated. Let's see if it is truly helping them with their transition to the university. And so we'll still be asking some of those things of, you know, what do you remember? What was the best thing? What would you change? And we'll gauge it from that. It is a tough issue at times, because today at our evaluation meeting, I had a number of academic advisors there, and the academic advisors are very much like, well, they need this, 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 and this. And I'm thinking, okay, from an academic advisor perspective, from a university perspective, I can see where you believe a student needs this, 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 and this. You also have to realize they're 18, they've never been to the university. In terms of classes, how much are they going to retain, and how much do they really think they need? And so, you know, you can present all the information in the world, but unless they receive it and keep it, it's not going to be of use. So that's the kind of balancing act when it comes to the workshops and information that we're trying to present is I would love to talk about so many things, but we have to figure out what makes the most sense for them coming into the university.
Senator Duval.
Is the Alcoholize the, like, online course module that is part of your department?
It is not. That comes out of the Office of Student Conduct.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's out there in the Associate Dean's office. We're all in the basement together. Fraternity and Sorority Life is also there. So I see the student conduct office quite regularly, but we don't administer it at all. We do, I'm sorry I did not bring one, but we distribute a packet of information. You all would have gotten a backsack this year. We moved to a binder that had considerably more academic information in it. And there's a letter in there about how to access Alcoholize, but that's the only thing our office does is, here's the letter.
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
I was just wondering, because we don't get to see all the other workshops and stuff, and you said it was good for us to stress on events and programming, clubs and organizations, but if you have any other suggestions for the ASUN workshop or ways to improve it?
Not directly off the top of my head. Y'all moved to a really nice format a couple of years ago with, I think you have like half stay in the room and half go on a tour. And I think that's been a really good way to outline all of the services that ASUN provides, because it gives you a chance to say, like, oh, here's the campus escort desk, and here's, you know, the food pantry. And I'm sure I'm mixing up some of the names, because you all come up with much better names than I do. But I think it's just that engaging thing. The students, you know, are still, this year, I know that sounds weird, but, like, we have this blue wall. You can see it in these pictures. This year, the blue wall was pretty much blue. Nobody wanted to take pictures of the blue wall. In years past, it's been like, oh, my God, everybody's at it. So we're like, we don't know what happened this year. We don't know if, like, freshmen just don't want to take pictures in front of these types of things. They just don't want pictures, which is weird, because at Running Over Wolves, they all were still taking those selfies. So a couple of years ago, I know y'all had, you know, an ASUN wall, and you had a picture of yourself here and some things like that. That might be a way to get better engagement, is when they are on that tour, you know, saying, hey, take your picture here, or take a picture of this, just as a way for them to kind of get connected right away. And then I also think the impact of social media. We did not hire a social media intern this summer, and I am definitely seeing the long-term effects of that. So we're looking into that again. But I just think the opportunities for social media, of taking those pictures at orientation and getting them in your social media accounts right away with welcome. You know, this year we're very good about focusing on the graduation, so we always call them class of. So class of 2020, hashtag all those welcome to the pack type stuff. And so I think that's another way to get that engagement and get students immediately thinking about your social media, so they start following and friending and whatever other connected social media words we should be using.
Senator Ball.
Yes. The company we contracted with, they run, some campuses run entire orientation programs online. So that is something we are looking at, is that I love the individual connection to our campus. While our campus has grown larger and larger, I myself am a graduate of this institution when it was significantly smaller. And that's the one thing I consistently hear when we do our orientation guide interviews, whether it's the group interviews or one-on-one, is how connected students feel on our campus. So I don't want to eliminate the opportunity for students to come and connect on campus in the summer. I think it's a great way for us to continue to welcome them and ease them into the university. But looking at other things that we can present online so that they're available beforehand and available afterwards, I think is a great opportunity for us to help with our education of our students. I had a journalism course, I think it was journalism, last year that wanted to do a whole presentation on, like, campus safety type stuff. It was right after some of, you know, the unfortunate active shooter type incidents that were happening other places. And they were like, we need to do an active shooter training at orientation. And my head was thinking, like, oh, yeah, that's really welcoming. but that's not to say, would that be a nice module on an online orientation, is campus safety resources and procedures. And we have information that says, you know, we have the text alert system, we have the blue phone system, we have, you know, there's so many different apps that are out right now. You know, we have this app, we have that app. But if it's in one more thing, like, here's our procedure. We have, if you ever talk to campus police, they do have a great action plan for how to deal with an on-campus shooter. You never want to deal with one, but thank goodness they have that there. So getting that out in an online, you know, in a format that students might be able to access in that situation, I think would be great. My intention of the online orientation is that once you access it, it's there forever. So maybe you're a junior, but you took the online orientation 2 years ago. It's still there. You can still go on it and say, oh, you know, I saw something about safety. What was it? And so you know what, how to handle something. Maybe it's sexual assault resources, whatever it might be. I think it's just key. So I would look into adding more workshops, more information online that our students can access.
Are there any other questions for Kenny?
Hi.
Do we know how, do you have any transfer data and how orientation affects the transfer students as well?
We do not have as much transfer data. And this year, additionally, our numbers were down by probably 300 students when it comes to our transfer student attendance. We intentionally scheduled two of those sessions in June at the request of our faculty. Our faculty asked for earlier June sessions for orientation as they felt it would create better academic connection. I haven't seen that happen yet, but again, I don't have the data to back up my gut, so we're looking into that more. The challenge we have with transfer students is every few years we do a transfer student profile, and they're still 19 to 90, an average age of 24, one to eight institutions. So it's harder to develop exactly what they need because, you know, that 18 to 20-year-old that maybe attended a community college, junior college, or other four-year institution for a semester to a year or maybe even 2 years is still a very traditional college student, and we want them to be at opening ceremony. We want them to engage on campus, running up the wolves, the whole bit. And their services and their connection opportunities are still very traditional. But that student who's maybe 35 that's coming back because they've been in the military, maybe stopped out, they have credits coming from four different institutions, whatever it might be, we still want them at opening ceremonies, and we still want them at running of the wolves, but they might not always feel as welcome at those events because they're looking at themselves like, I'm 35, I have a kid, and I have a job, and I'm not going to this. So that's the challenges we're dealing with our transfer program. I'm working with Carrie M. out of our admissions and records area, or one of our transfer specialists. We will be looking into more opportunities for outreach. On our transfer data as well for orientation attendance, we did notice it's still predominantly the Reno areas that is attending the summer orientations in June and July. Our other colleges and, you know, community college folks are really coming in July and August, which is where I disagree with that the academics that say, oh, early June. If you're moving to the area, you're not going to move to the area until August or July for school. You're not going to move in June unless you have a job lined up. So some of those challenges.
Are there any other questions for Karen? All right, thank you so much for coming in. Okay, so we will now move into agenda item 7A, President of the Associated Students, Brandon Boone.
Different video ideas throughout the year. We'd like to see Inkblot produce. One of the big ones we discussed was a Pack Internship Grant Program video, which has never been done before, that would include actual footage of our students in their internships actually working on their projects with statistics of the program and stuff like that. So they'd be filming it throughout this entire spring semester, and then it would be a marketing tool for next year. So we're going to be pursuing that one. We also talked about a year in review video. Last year was the first year that we did that, I believe, or at least to the extent that they did it. So if you guys are accomplishing things throughout this year that I don't know about or someone doesn't know about, just keep a running record of them. So come April, we're not trying to remember what we accomplished in October. Director Hurdle and I met with the Student Union Advisory Board today to discuss different things that could be improved in the Student Union from the student perspective. They mentioned they've been struggling getting students to use their late night incentives program as well as their new online room reservation system. So I gave them contact info for Director Wong and Commissioner Ron Keough so they can potentially market them in the Clubs and Orgs newsletter that gets sent out every month. GSA recently elected a new president, Sandesh Kanan, so I have reached out to him about setting up a potential meeting to discuss his goals and see if GSA and ASUN can align. We haven't really worked together in the past just because we have different goals, so I know Samdesh is more civic engagement focused, so we might be able to pair up a little bit there. In regards to a question that was asked to President Johnson last week, Pizza with the President has been confirmed and will be taking place next Wednesday, October 5th at 1:30 in the Blind Onion. Also, Director Rojas was unable to make it tonight due to Ally Week. They're actually watching the movie Rent in the theater right now. But he's in desperate need of people for volunteers tomorrow at the Diversity Barbecue. Thank you to Senator Jordan and Vice President Springmeyer for signing up for that. But you cannot run a barbecue with three people, so Gabe, Brennan, and Jake are not going to be able to do it for themselves the entire time, especially since two of them can only work for an hour. So do any of you have any availability from 11 to 2 tomorrow? Oh, yeah. What time can you do it, Delia?
I can do it all the time.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. And just so you know what you're doing, this isn't a normal barbecue. Gabe decided that hot dogs and hamburgers don't really say diversity, so they're going to be making tacos the entire time. Did someone else raise their hand for volunteering?
No.
11 to 2. Setup is at 10:30, so 10:30 to 2:30.
I mean, they're from like 12:30 to 1.
12:30 to 1. Any help is appreciated.
Sorry.
My office hours are a little bit small. Can I just go for the event?
Yeah. Because we said that office hours would transfer over to ASU on events this session. Are there any other volunteers? I can make it for like an hour, but
I can do it.
Are there any other volunteers?
That's great. Thank you guys.
Senator Kitty also can do it.
Okay, Gabe will be happy to hear that. So, last thing, believe it or not, we're actually nearing the halfway point of our terms. I know that's kind of crazy to think about, but myself and Vice President Springmeyer are going to be starting our exec one-on-ones with all of our exec members. So, if you guys have any opinions on different exec members, things that you think they could improve on, stuff like that, please bring that to our attention. On that note, know that my door is always open for you guys. I know you guys are working on projects. You may have got railroaded on a few projects and don't know where to go from now. I may not be able to give all your answers, but I can probably connect you with someone that will be able to. So just use me as a resource. And that's pretty much it for me. I've got another one from Director Lawton. Senator Jordan and Senator Blair sent me some awesome content for ASUN's cleanup with the Special Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness at Rancho San Rafael this weekend, as well as Kavner Agricultural Field Day that I posted on Facebook. One of Senator Jordan's goals of the SSW post was to show that ASU in support of Public Lands Day and increase awareness of SSW. Each post reached over 1,800 people, excluding BLF posts. Posts on ASUN's Facebook reached, on average, about 200 to 400 people. So it's safe to say his goal was met. Senators, if you ever need any event or content posted on any of ASUN's social media, please don't ever hesitate to email me. I emailed Director Rodriguez about updating the ASUN timeline on our website to include the last 3 years, so hopefully that will be current by the end of this week. Maggie and I have started designing a nonpartisan voter guide that will be printed on a handbill. The guides will also be posted on social media, so once they are up, please share them on your own pages. We want a table in front of the Joe and hand these out to students while encouraging them to vote on Turbo Vote. And we will need volunteers to table, so I'll create a poll on Facebook for people to sign up for. Thank you, Brooklyn.
Do you want to read Kevin's as well?
Huh?
Do you want to read Kevin's as well?
I never got one from Kevin. Did he leave?
I haven't. I just have to rather have you read it.
Okay, Blue Crew Trophy is back. I don't know what that means. But this year, attendance will be recorded at the women's volleyball game against San Jose State University, the soccer game against New Mexico, and the football game against Fresno. The games are on the 6th, 7th, and 8th of October, respectively. Flyers will be available for clubs to pick up and turn in at the games. It's a great way for clubs to show off because they will receive a 5-foot trophy and also be recognized at halftime of the basketball game. Please support our social media efforts and let all clubs you are involved with know about it. It is open to all clubs, including fraternities and sororities. Further details will be on our social media. Wolfpack football plays Hawaii this week away. Sorry I had to leave. Didn't think it would take long.
Senator Green.
Just for clarification, what he's talking about is athletics keeps a number, they try to increase numbers, so they're trying to get groups and organizations on campus to come to the games, and whichever organization goes to the most games gets a giant trophy for attendance.
Director Charles, I think
she left also, but my department update for this evening, thank you to all who helped out with Pizza Your Mind this past Thursday. It was wildly successful, and we were able to register a huge amount of students with TurboVote. We were also able to partner with Canada Hall last night to help students register to vote and educate constituents about the Department of Legislative Affairs. Our first presidential debate watch party went well. We partnered with Gen FDK and several students from the College Republicans and the Young Dems came by to watch and support the event. Fusion TV will be here next Wednesday, October 5th, to present their As American As display, and I hope everyone stops by and checks that out in front of the KC. We'll be registering students with TurboVote, and we think it will be very successful. Wolfpack Smart Talks will be having its first talk on question 2 during Rock the Vote, and we're excited to have two community experts, Tim Segerblum and Jim Hartman, come and speak on the topic. Rock the Vote is just 12 days away, so you can look forward to hearing the finalized details of that event next week. But thus far, we have over 11 campaigns who will be in attendance for our political palooza and panel, which will be an excellent civic engagement opportunity. Dump the Delegates sign-up sheet will be sent out this upcoming Monday, so please volunteer so that we can make this event as successful as possible. Thank you so much, Veronica Charles. And then I also have a memo regarding her nominee tonight, if you want me to read that now or when he comes up.
When he comes up.
Okay. That's all I
need. Moving into agenda item 7. Oh, Senator Blair.
For your urine review, do you just want a running record of what we do as a Senate, or will we all do it individually?
Individual projects as well. Something you think. So the year in review video is kind of shown to just broadcast all the cool things ASU does. So if you think it's cool enough to be in a video, then just send it our way. We'll, at the end of the year, we'll determine what's cool enough or not.
Senator Jordan.
This is the credit review, the ones at the Field Day events where Senator Duvall, Senator Bradley, and Senator McCall. All
right. Senator Blair. Are there further questions for President Booth? Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving into agenda item 7C, Chief of Staff Sebastian Oviedo.
Hello, guys. Sorry I keep coming in and out. I have interviews for exec interns right now, and I have another at 7, so I'll make this quick. I have started working on the It's On Us campaign and everything that we're going to be doing with that, with Senator Bradley, as well as I'm going to be going into university affairs very soon. But what we have found is that November 7th through the 11th is actual National Week of Action for It's On Us. So they have some events that they plan that we really think would be awesome if we got started here. But these are just some of the events that we wanted to do this semester leading up to Sexual Awareness Month in April. So Monday would be an It's On Us kickoff. Tuesday, called Got Consent. Wednesday, Be More Than a Bystander. Thursday, Supporting Survivors. Friday, it would be like a What's Next Day. Going on with that, I was also given the Pack Fit week and the kind of the health week that you guys have been all planning. So I have been in contact with Senator Blair, and then hopefully I can get into the sustainability and wellness. There we go. Thank you so much. I hope to get there very soon to get the ball rolling on what you guys have as a Senate plan for that week and how we can make that week as best as it can be. Along with GivePulse, for those of you who are at the State of the University address, President Johnson really wants to get up to 3,000 volunteers signed up for GivePulse, so we really need to be pushing that system. I've been in contact with Senator Bradley to get a sign-up in the dorms going, as well as we're thinking of doing a homecoming, or having one of the homecoming events be where you have to sign up for GivePulse. There is an event where we do a community service thing, so for points where you're thinking that if you sign up for GivePulse and then you go to that community service event, the teams could get points for that. Along with that, I would really like some help of brainstorming ideas for Alcohol Awareness Week. That is in November as well, so I will be contacting University Affairs for that as well. That kind of got thrown on my plate. And then, as well, there's been 9 more internship applications that have been turned in since the last time that I've talked to you guys. So that was a total of 18 more for keeping the application open 2 more weeks, which is pretty awesome. I'm really excited to see those applications, and a lot of the different department heads are really happy about what direction and what all the interns have been doing so far. So if you guys have any questions for me, if not, I will be going back.
Senator Moore.
Did you want any help with both the sexual awareness week and alcohol awareness from the SSW community?
If you guys have ideas for that too, we can talk about that as well. I've been trying to talk about university affairs just because that's what I knew from being a senator in the previous session. So we can work with both committees and get going on that.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you. Perfect, thank you guys.
Moving to agenda item 7, WW Chief of Staff, Michael Upton.
Hello, everyone. All right. So, just to kick off, I want to talk a little bit about the SNAP. So, I was supposed to meet with Rachel Lucas on Sunday, but she had to move our meeting to tomorrow. So, we will be meeting to discuss her plans for finalizing the budget, basically, for the project that she wants to do, and then we'll be able to look into how much money we're going to have left for the staff to reopen it. I want to give a shout-out to Senator Blair. Thank you for speaking with the Environmental Club. They are showing interest in the staff, which is really exciting, so that way we can get some other student groups hopefully applying once we reopen it this time. In addition to that, so the Campus Bicycle Committee will be meeting on October 11th. Is there anyone who would like to meet with them? I'll be going as well.
Senator Smith, Senator Blair.
To the left.
Okay. I don't know
yet. Question on that. Did you see the email that Sandy sent out today about the campus being designated as a...
Bike on the campus.
Yes.
Yes. So we have like a bronze medal basically for that, which is pretty cool. So it's on the campus bike map that we have printed. It shows like our symbol basically saying that we're bronze certified, which is really exciting. I think there's only like a little over 100 campuses across the country who are bronze certified, so that's pretty cool. Also, those bike maps, if you guys haven't seen them yet, they're all over campus. They're done at the bottom of the Joe. We have some in the Center for Student Engagement, and they're also at Parking and Transportation. So pick one up if you haven't and tell students about them, so that way they get to good use. So for the PAC Friendly Business Campaign, so within this next week, I'm going to have all the businesses that we've kind of been pending on. We have about, 40 of them that are still pending through contact, so I'm recontacting them this week. I'm hopefully hearing back from them. I've heard back from a few of them already, which is exciting. So I'm actually meeting with one of them next week just to discuss what it's about. And then, yeah, I think that's it.
Are there any questions for WG Senator Blair?
Just to clarify, that bike meeting is October 11th at 11?
Yeah, 11 a.m. Okay, sweet.
Are there any further questions? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Moving to agenda item 7G, programmer Cannell.
Hi, guys. I'm filling in for Director Hurdle today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the assistant director. I think I've met everyone, though. Okay, so I have Casey's report to read. The programming Blue Crew Clubs and Orgs office is now clean. Please do not use it as storage space. If you need something to be put in there, please let an officer of one of the departments know, and they will put it in there for you. Next Wednesday, we will have Fusion TV Network on campus with their As America As event. This event is touring the county, showing the diversity of young American adults. Basically, what I've heard about this event is it's going to be a large 30-foot wall with different photographs of generation students, stuff like that, just in front of the KC, so make sure to check that out. And that's next Wednesday. And lastly, homecoming is only a couple of weeks away. The deadline to register a team or a homecoming pageant candidate is October 1st, which is this Saturday. Please let your respective organizations know and encourage everyone to join in. The department will be holding 2 meetings for team captains where all events and rules will be explained. This year, there will be a zero-tolerance policy for any unsportsmanlike conduct. And then the dates and locations for those 2 meetings are next Thursday, October 6th at 7 p.m. in the Joe, room 323, as well as Friday, October 7th at 8 p.m. in Joe Crowley Student Room 323. Any questions?
Are there any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to agenda item 7M, Chief Justice Sam Rivera.
Good evening, Senators.
Good evening, Chief Justice.
How are you guys?
Good. All right, so just a little update from you guys. First thing is we're working hard on developing the student-led mediation program like every other week. Kind of some new information is we're starting up a small ad campaign called What is the Judicial Council? We're going to start kind of reaching out to let students know about what the Judicial Council does, stuff like that. Just going back to speak to Texera's comment about reaching back to the students. On that note, we have some presentations coming up. We have a presentation by Board of Regents Chairman Trey Chalk. He will be coming in to talk about the future of law schools and the future of law students. That will be October 14th at 3 p.m. It's an open invitation to all of you guys here at the table tonight. Room will be announced. If you could get back to me, if you could shoot me an email if you're interested, that would be great. I'm trying to kind of gauge what the room will be and stuff like that. Also, we're shooting to have a presentation by Assistant General Counsel Gary Cardinal with the university talking about what is higher education law and what kind of field that is. And then other than that, if you're interested in serving the university in a little different facet, the Student Conduct Board application still is open and available. And on the, in terms of the internship programs, we'll be having interviews October 7th, and we'll have them hired and introduced at our open meeting on October 21st.
Are there any questions? Awesome. You don't think it would?
Thank you, guys.
Moving to agenda item 7M, Speaker Pro Tem Canada.
So the two main things I've been working on this week are the legislative internship program and the town hall. First of all, with the town hall, I want to thank all of the senators that committed to volunteering tomorrow. And if anyone else, if their schedule cleared up and then they would like to help, we would be really happy to have you there. We're okay with our numbers right now, but more help would be great. And hopefully you all were, we've done an email with Christine Brown, who's working at KRNB. If you're not receiving those emails, please let me know. Again, the town hall is tomorrow at 7 p.m. In the Davidson Math and Science Building, and it's in the Redfield Auditorium, which is DMS 110, I believe. Would really love to see you guys there. If you could wear your ASUN polos, that would be awesome, just to have some representation. And if you have any questions about the event, please let me know. I'm really excited for it. It's going to be awesome. For the legislative internship program, we've been doing interviews all week, and as you guys know, the application's open till Friday, so if you want to push that a little bit more. But in the meantime, I have sent them a schedule of all the meetings that happen during the week, including committee meetings, and since those are open, don't be surprised if some prospective interns come into your meetings and kind of watch and see how everything goes on. So if you have any questions for me, please let me know.
And for myself, James talked about it earlier, but he's going to be sending out a leadership assessment. Make sure you guys do that because it'll help James figure out how we can better tailor this program to make better leaders. I should have mentioned this in oversight, but I'll talk about that later. Make sure that you guys are getting your office hours done. Andrea and I had a rough, well, she had a rough time going through the hours. Just because they were a little late getting in there. We talked today about oversight, about individual meetings, and we came to the conclusion that we're not going to do individual meetings, we're going to do per-college meetings. So, like the College of Business will meet with me, the College of Liberal Arts, things like that. Those dutables will be coming out Friday. And other than that, do you guys have any questions for me? All right, moving to agenda item. 10A, nomination of Curtis Hazlitt to be policy analyst for the Department of Legislative Affairs. I'm seeking a motion to fast track Senator Krupe.
I move to fast track the nomination of Curtis Hazlitt to be the policy director of the Department of Legislative Affairs.
Is there a second? Senator Tarkson?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Senator Krupe?
Yeah, just for the record, the agenda currently says analyst, the position is policy director. which was on the supplemental documents that were posted all around campus. It wasn't on the supplemental documents that were online, but we double-checked with Tedford. We're all set. But it is supposed to be director, and that's been posted regularly.
Yeah, just for you guys' information. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor, please hesitate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Now moving to agenda item 11A, the nomination of Curtis Haslett. So Curtis, if you would join us at the table, you have 5 minutes to give a speech, and then I will have 5 minutes.
I'll just read this comment real quick in the short one. I chose Curtis Haslett as policy director because of his commitment to legislative policy. During interviews, I asked applicants to bring a piece of legislation that they felt that students would benefit from, and Curtis brought me AB 579, which is in direct correlation with everything the university is trying to accomplish with sexual assault awareness and the It's On Us campaign. In addition to Curtis's big picture understanding of university legislation, he also exemplifies the leadership qualities that this department needs in order to be successful in the upcoming legislative session. Curtis will help push this department to new boundaries and in turn help the undergraduate student population become civically engaged. Respectfully, Veronica Charles, Director of Legislative Affairs.
All right, Curtis, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I know like we're all super busy. I have a great deal of respect for ASUN and what you've all accomplished, especially in the last few years. I know a few of you, but really look forward to meeting and hopefully working with all of you. I know that there's a lot on the agenda tonight, so I will try to be sort of brief. my name is Curtis Haslett. Again, I'm a third-year political science major with a minor in communications. I am currently employed as Americans for Prosperity, which is a nonprofit foundation that mobilizes grassroots movements and teaches citizens how to become political activists. Over the summer, I was hired as a full-time legal intern at Reese Kintz Guanasso. I actually shared an office with Hannah Jackson. and I'm the former vice president of the College Republicans here at Nevada and a current member of Sigma Phi Epsilon. As policy director, on day one, I will immediately begin convening with my team and the rest of Legislative Affairs to get a sense of what issues we should prioritize and focus on. However, personally, I've been looking at a few pieces of legislation. I've been looking at the amendments to AB 579, which will allow Nevada's 7 public colleges the right to deny the admission of registered sex offenders. I've also been taking a look at HR 2680, which was introduced last year in California, which requires that the Department of Education to make publicly available on its website a list of higher education institutions that are currently under investigation for sexual misconduct. As an older brother with a sister that is going into college next year, sexual assault awareness and prevention is a topic that hits home for me. I'm sure a lot of us can relate. As you might know, in 2014, the university conducted a sexual conduct survey in which they reported that 10% of females and 3% of males self-identified as victims of sexual assault, and until both of those percentages are at zero, sexual assault will always be a priority to the Department of Legislative Affairs. Actually, just last week, I took the It's On Us pledge, which is a promise to not be a bystander to the problem of sexual misconduct, but to be part of the solution. And as policy director, I will make certain that we work in stride with that campaign, as well as analyze legislation throughout the state and the country concerning this topic. The other issues that are a concern to the student body that we are going to be taking a look at is the Save Our Schools campaign, the proposed Safe Campus Act, recreational marijuana, campus carry, faculty salary raises, and the funding for the proposed building for the College of Engineering, which President Johnson, I believe, spoke a little bit at his address. Those are all just extremely important issues. There's, of course, much more that are not just going to affect our campus now, but 4 years to come. As in every election cycle, I can't overstate the importance of voter registration and mobilization, and that will 100% be a hallmark of my tenure with the department. You know, these are exciting times, and as our university evolves and expands, I look forward to working with all of you to ensure that this expansion is met with the highest level of accountability and commitment to the students that we represent. Thank you all for your time.
Are there any questions for the candidate? Senator Green?
Can we talk about what civic engagement means to you?
Civic engagement, yes. For my entire college career, I always wanted to be involved in politics, not just on campus, but like within the Reno community. I was the youngest vice president in College Republicans history in like the state, and then over the summer, I was operations manager for a local assembly race. We unfortunately were not successful, but the experience that I learned there, I can't take that back for sure. So for me, the position of policy director is just another step in my civic engagement. I guess for the school more than the community.
Senator Eschenbaugh?
How would you describe your approach to team or like group work or teamwork?
Right. Well, it's obviously like essential. I mean, like we look at everyone in this room, and there's a reason why it's not just President Boone right here. I think that teamwork is essential, and in politics and in legislative affairs, you know, it's all about voting and it's all about democracy. And I think that teamwork plays right into the whole idea of having a republic and having a democracy.
How do you plan on making sure that your own opinion doesn't get into your work with the Department of Legislative Affairs?
Right. Of course. Myself, as in everyone else in this room, we all have our own political ideology, our own views. But you know, when I'm working for the school and representing the students, my opinions and my positions will be those of the student body majority.
Senator Green,
do you have any plans on helping the incoming freshmen who are now just being able to vote, who don't necessarily want to vote because they feel that both candidates are not competent enough? Do you have any plans on making sure they do vote and getting them registered too?
Right. Well, like I said, registration is obviously so like important, and I think that a lot of political-minded individuals this year are choosing to focus on local races and state races because they just have completely, I guess, like opted out of the presidential race, which, you know, it's really not my position to say if that's right or wrong. But I think that getting involved in the local level is like a perfect start, like for those like freshmen to therefore be involved in larger races that are down the road.
Are there any other questions for the candidate? All right, thank you so much. We ask that you leave your model that you do not have to think about it anymore.
Okay.
I'm seeking a motion. Senator Kirby?
I move to nominate Curtis Haslett to be policy director for the Department of Legislative Affairs.
Is there a second? Senator Jackson?
Second.
Discussion on the candidate. Senator Green.
So I really like, although he didn't really answer my question about civic engagement, he really touched on it being in the school, the community, being involved at a local level, on a national level, and at a state level. So I really liked how you answered my second question, though, because most people feel like it's always the presidential candidate that you have to worry about, but not a lot of people focus on the local elections, and I think that's just as important as presidential. And while you might not agree with who's running the country, you should agree with who's running your community.
Senator Kruger?
Yeah, Dennis kind of already touched on my point. I think that for his second question, nominee Haslett had a great answer, predominantly due to the fact that though someone may not be interested in the presidential race, registering in general is important, and being able to decide who else will be contributing to the leadership of the country is something that we should be pushing for. So the fact that that was his answer, I thought was definitely a good answer to that question.
Senator Bond? John? Senator Jacoby?
Having known Curtis personally for a few years, he's quite dead set in his political views. That being said, I believe that a large amount of like the legislation he talked about doesn't necessarily fall under political opinion. I believe it's just more for the betterment of the university. So I think with Sebastian on his It's On Us week in sexual awareness would be beneficial because sexual assault has risen on this campus. If you look at like data that Denise Cordova has put on the website, it's the policies and legislation that Curtis is talking about is very important, and I think you do a great job as a policy director.
Is there any opposition to nominee Haslett? All right, I'd like to move into a roll call vote on the candidate.
Senator Berrigan?
Oh,
sorry about that. Okay, Senator Blair?
Aye.
Senator Bond?
Aye.
Senator Bradley?
Aye.
Senator Crooks?
Aye.
Senator Kruppi?
Aye.
Senator Duvall?
Aye.
Senator Eschenbaugh?
Aye.
Senator Fang?
Aye.
Senator Green?
Aye.
Senator Henderson?
Aye.
Senator H. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator T. Jackson?
Aye.
Senator Jacoby?
Aye.
Senator Jordan?
Aye.
Senator Kohler?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Yerkety?
Aye.
Senator Cook?
Aye.
And Senator Chu?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Thank you.
The duties of the office on which I am about to
enter. Thank you.
critical education. So this is the piece of legislation that came up on the agenda last week that we couldn't touch because there was a miscommunication between Senator Fang, President Boone, and I. So I'm seeking a motion to fast track. Senator Krupe.
I move to fast track Senate Bill 84, an act to increase funding to the PAC internship grant program.
Okay, second, Senator Riley.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Now moving into 19A, an act to increase funding in the PAC internship grant program. I'm seeking a motion to approve. Senator Krupe.
I move to approve Senate Bill 84, an act to increase funding for the PAC internship grant program.
Is there a second? Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
Second.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Finn, would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, so I hope everyone still remembers Elizabeth, she came in last week to talk about, basically covered all the whereas clauses, and I hope everyone got a chance to look at it because it's been a couple weeks. But I've got a lot of questions about the enacting clauses on this piece of legislation. So in the enacting clause, it says to allocate $25,760 to the work grants line. And so I know there's some confusion there because the bill, it only talks about $5,760. So basically, there's an additional $20,000 that's going to be allocated in order to match what was allocated for the PAC internship grants last year. Because last year, there was $63,360 in that line, and currently, there's only $43,360. So this bill would just allocate enough money to match that, plus those four.
Is there any discussion on the bill? All right, all those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Bill carries. Now, we're going to move back into committee reports. Chair Committee on Academics, Senator Henderson.
So, we had a great meeting last week. We're going along in all of our projects. We're going to work with the special resources to do like healthy studying topics for finals and whatnot. Yeah, so that is really practical.
Are there any questions for Senator Henderson? All right, moving to agenda item 8B, Chair Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Fang.
So this week we did our first round of financial reviews. One of the council did was Senate, and I don't want to be like a downer, but we currently right now we only have 6,300 left in our operating budget, and 1,000 of which is being allocated towards the veterans practice. And I know a lot of the senators this year they really want to do a lot with programming, so just be wary about where our funds currently stand. This Friday we're going to be reviewing the programming board, so.
Are there any questions for Senator Fang? Moving to agenda item 8C, Chair Committee on Civic Engagement, Senator Green.
So I've personally been waiting for this moment a long time. The Civic Engagement Series is really about to take off. It's starting on October 10th. It's starting with the STAC, which is students thinking about college, which brings in a lot of people from, or a lot of middle schoolers and high schoolers from around the Reno area to come look at the college. And it's going to be signed up through GivePulse. I'm the first person signed up, and I hope that I can see a bunch of you guys there. You can only have to dedicate hours from 9 to 1 on October 10th. I'll be the first person there. And another thing I'm super excited to introduce is, I don't know if you guys looked at the Ali Nevada newsletter, but they're asking everybody to take a pledge to engage or to volunteer 100 hours of volunteerism hours, and it's the 100 hour challenge. Amy told me to talk about it. It's super cool, so I'm asking everyone on Senate to personally sign up, fill one out. My whole committee has done it already. I think since we're student leaders on campus, we can already go ahead and take that initiative because we need to lead by example. So I'm passing them around. When you sign up too, you have to make sure you sign up on GivePulse. You also get this really cool shirt. I think it's pretty lit.
What's it say on the back?
I pledge to give 100 hours.
And then on the front?
Of community service. And it's just this. Wolfpack logo. And the Civic Engagement Series, I don't know if you guys, I talked about it enough, but it's going to be competition-based. I'm guessing it's going to be us, the Pennington Student Services, versus the jail. So again, it's if one of ASU1 sends 10 people to this voluntary opportunity on October 10th, then the ideally the Joe would send it, then the Pennington would send it, then the Roman Services would send it, and at the end of the year, we're gonna be taking pictures all year. It's gonna be point by point. We're gonna give the student services with the most volunteer hours a giant trophy at the end of the year that'll hopefully get passed around off campus every year. So it's like another thing we get to brag about. We're also gonna be recognizing students who do that 100-hour challenge. And I think it's going to be really cool. It's going to look really good on our university. And I'm excited because Dr. Huss is also going to help me blast that. That email will be out this Friday. So if you guys have any questions, please come to me. And I hope you guys all sign up. Other than that, we just have we're still working on the educational program, which would be the Rider Reading Week. And then we're also just working on the nonprofit recognition. Senator Vaughn is still in charge of that, and there will be a new offer or a new one. She'll send me that on October 1st, and then it'll be up November or October 15th in the newsletter that goes out.
Senator Jordan,
can we just give you see it?
Yes, please. They're all going to Chris Partridge's box, so make sure you also sign up on Give Pulse because you guys haven't heard about that enough. But we're trying to push it. And as soon as you sign up on Give Pulse, you'll get your shirt.
Are there any other questions for Senator Green? All right, thank you so much for your work. Moving to agenda item 8D, Chair Committee on Government Operations, Senator Jordan.
Yeah, scholarship stuff is going well. While you guys in my committee on Friday get ready for more exciting SAS projects, go for that. So, other than that, that's it.
Moving to agenda item 8D, Chair Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Eschenbach.
So our committee had the opportunity to meet with Shai Cook, who is from Veteran Services, and also Felipe Gutierrez, who is the president of Wolfpack Veterans. So they just gave us some suggestions and ideas for the luncheon, and we'll have more to come soon.
Sweet. Moving to item 8F, Chair Committee on University Affairs.
Okay, so I'm very excited about my update today because I just met with Chief of Staff Atienza about the It's On Us campaign and what we're going to be doing for that. We're bringing it to the committee soon, but I wanted to come to you guys with like a good solid plan in the next few days. And it's just really exciting to hear how many people are really wanting to get behind this campaign. We set a goal of 1,000 pledges, but I personally want to see like 5,000 pledges, so we're having a goal of 1,000, but gonna easily break that, I hope. So, President Boone also informed me that it's a statewide NSA requirement to do an It's On Us.
Just about it on one by all NSA.
Yeah, so it's really a great opportunity for us to do more things on a statewide thing as level as well. So that will be coming soon. I've been like doodling the timeline right now because I'm just very excited about it. Also, other things that University Affairs has been working on, we're doing an outreach event coming up soon, probably at the end of November. Looking at COCO with the constituents kind of thing again, I think that was pretty successful last year when I was an intern, and seeing that with the senators did it was a pretty good way to talk to constituents. And it was cold, so it was a lot of hot chocolate left over still in the office. Other things, we assigned all of our liaison positions, and we also allocated a couple extra ones, which we thought were useful to the committee, and the people of the committee have 3 weeks to get in contact with their liaison. We're just making sure everybody gets in contact with them. We talked about Gift Pulse and Senator, or Chief of Staff Atienza's report as well, but I'm going to be talking to my, like, bosses about requiring RA programming to be done through Gift Pulse as well. So if we're doing, because we are required to do community service type of programming at least once a semester, so if that could be put onto Gift Pulse so that the students are getting those hours tracked, I'm going to talk with them about, I don't know if we need to write legislation or just change the rules of job titles and things like that, but I think it's really important that we do that. And I'll do my senator report also. So we are, Cavender's also having a Cavender Town Hall on October 10th at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the Wells Fargo Auditorium. We have the awesome opportunity to talk with our dean. He's going to be giving a presentation about kind of what's going on in Cavender because there's some confusion of different things I've just gotten back from that translucency between administration and students, and there's a lot of students who really have some pretty strong opinions and want to have their opportunity to talk to the dean, so we're sustaining that, but keep that on the radar.
Yeah, I sat in on that meeting today with the It's On Us campaign, and if you guys go and look at Baylor's It's On Us campaign, they made this really cool video with across the campus leadership like coming to have a statement. Once again, that's Baylor's It's On Us video. It's awesome. Are there any questions for Sarah Bradley? Moving into agenda item 8G, Chair Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. Senator Claire.
So today, Senator Jordan Bradley and I talked with Vice President Springard and kind of help him with Health Week and kind of start some of the wellness events that are going to be starting in November and going through April. And so we're also going to try implementing some research to help them with that, especially with our wellness event coming up. We're just finalizing some details with that as well as an event in SBAP form for that. So that would be in the Pennington. We're going to be inviting other clubs, and we're still working on getting people to that in the first couple weeks of October. And then we're also going to start having conversations on an event late November, December on safety. So it's really great to hear how many people wanted like car safety for the winter. And so we'll probably be working with the University of Fairs on that and be contacting some other people.
Any questions for Senator Blair? All right. And we will now move into agenda item. We will be skipping WTF Nevada and Senate reports this week. Because we did that last week, so we're going to move into agenda item 21, comments and announcements. So, comments and announcements at this time. Moving to agenda item 22, public comment. Director Beatty.
Great talks tonight. Some good questions at the table. You guys had a lot of information from Karen on orientation. We do have one of the better orientations. They put a lot of work into it and improved it over the years. I go to the parent dinner, so I sit around and talk with the parents, and I hear really good things from the parents. And I would imagine a parent having their student move out of the house for the first time, and most of the parents now used to all be Reno parents that I was talking to. Not anymore. Now it's UNLV parents, it's Wisconsin parents, it's California parents. So I think that they've just done a really great job. I think that $150 student fee does a lot. It goes to a lot of places. They offer sessions in Spanish. They do all kinds of stuff. I don't know how many people were involved with that. I know a lot of you were involved with our little session, but it's a lot of moving parts. This year looked a lot different, more moving parts than normal. So I'm hoping to see that sort of flatline a little bit next year so it's not quite as confusing for some people. So you had someone in here talking about a new student fee for mandatory health insurance. There's a lot of aspects to that. I can tell you that financial aid will not cover that for undocumented students. Undocumented students only get the millennium. And maybe I heard wrong. Was the number $1,500 a year? Or is it $1,500 over the 4 years?
Between two and four.
Being $2,400 a year?
1,000.
Two.
For coverage.
Okay. So that was for the average person. Then I think their plan was cheaper at $1,500.
Yes.
So the impact of that is like what? $6,000 over your 4 year. So if the average college student graduates with $22,000 in debt and you add $6,000 to that, you're looking at an increase of 25% to 30% in college debt over one initiative for those students, right? I don't know if it would. I don't have any data right now to say that it would disproportionately impact underrepresented students, but I would say it would. $6,000 would be a big change. So I would just ask for more numbers looking into that moving forward and more concrete data. It was nice to have someone come up here and say that they could get a better comprehensive plan for everybody at a cheaper rate, but if they're already saying most students are covered, I'm not sure what the benefit that would be. But it's just because he didn't have the slides because of technical issues, and I would dig into some data on that one.
Are there any more public comments, Senator Green?
Yeah, I want to comment on that too, because I'm actually on the student insurance, but I'm an athlete, so I don't technically pay for it. If I was not an athlete, I wouldn't have insurance right now. So I think we should definitely take a look at it. And then secondly, I just wanted to give some shout-outs, because on GivePulse there are some leaders who are on the board. So Director Long is actually leading it for the entire campus right now. So, and then it was Senator DeVos in second place, but she just got beat today. So, I'm also hoping that we can get some more of us on the leaderboard. Richard only has 26 hours, which is like 1 week in community service, so let's do it.
Sir Kirby?
Do you know on GivePulse when student group leaders are actually going to be able to put in their own events? Because apparently that part of the module doesn't work yet.
So, yeah, GivePulse is actually having a bunch of issues at the moment. And so it's having a lot of issues. I've been talking to Amy. Stephanie is actually out on medical leave, so it's been Amy and Chris who have been taking over the project. The issue, there are actually a lot of more events on GivePulse than you can see. They're just not published. So, because I'm running into an issue too, to where I'm trying to put the stack together, and the only two rules for the civic engagement competition is that it's on GivePulse and you actually go in order to get the points for the competition. So, Amy and Chris are figuring out how to publish it right now. And as soon as I find that out, I'll let everyone know.
So I could definitely be 26.
Okay, is there any more public comment? All right. I'm actually throwing an event called the IFC Benefit Dinner. It's $20 a ticket, and it benefits St. Jude. So if any of you guys want to come out, Senator Green.
I'm also hosting an event that benefits St. Jude. It's this Saturday. Dance upon is $5.
Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
I also have a fundraiser, not for St. Jude, for the We the People program tonight at Qdoba. If you want to go there after this, just tell them you're there for We the People, and some of the proceeds will go there.
How much?
How much of the proceeds? I'm not sure. Some of the proceeds.
If you guys got a
it will benefit it.
If you guys got a gift card from Stringmeyer, you could use that tonight. Senator Green?
So some of the senators and I were also planning an impromptu get together after Senate tonight at Youth World, just so we can catch up, bond, and see some of each other.
Senator Jordan.
Speaker Pro Tem for Jackson, when is your fundraiser start?
It's today, and it goes until 9.
All right. Is there any more public comment? All right, I adjourn this meeting at 7:45.